Welcome, everyone. This is the second installment of an episode about our village project, our community building project, New Earth Eco Village Healing Center, Retreat Center, Regenerative Farm, Paradise, you name it. It's been 3 months since I did the first installment of this series, and so it's time for a little bit of an update. Many things we've learned, our community of founders has grown, and we've chosen a spot. We have decided that Asheville, North Carolina, and the surrounding region, this is where our community will be. Personally, I just returned home from several days trip to Asheville. Interestingly enough, it's actually my first time in Asheville, but my family is 10 generations in that region, which is Southern Appalachia, East Coast, for those of you not in the States. And it really is a region that's perfectly situated for any climate change. So if sea levels rise, or if storms in the Midwest intensify, or if drought problems in the West become more of a problem, there's going to be a lot of climate migration. And this region is pretty much immune to all of these potential disasters. So thinking ahead into the future, this is going to be one of the best places to live in North America, as I see it. And this trip to Asheville was really magical. An example would be, we went to an ecstatic dance, a Sunday morning dance, and discovered there is a whole community of dances that happen almost daily in Asheville. And some of the people that we wanted to meet showed up at the dance without us coordinating ahead of time. So I took that to be a really good sign. And there was lots of these synchronicities, these positive happenstance that were a sign that we were really on the right track. One of the first things we did in Asheville was we visited Earth Haven Eco Village. And we did this partly to do research about what it's like to build and organize a community. And Earth Haven has been around for almost 30 years. They started with 16 co-founders, and now they're up to 125 people, I believe. And their land is on 320 acres or so. And there's multiple different neighborhoods at this point. And it was really interesting to see that the different neighborhoods were organized with different legal structures. That is to say, some of them had 99-year leases to buy your house, to buy your property. Others of them bought shares of the neighborhood, which gave you the ability to live in a house in that neighborhood. And still others, you were able to buy your house and land underneath of it outright. Now, the first thing we saw on our tour was also the first thing they built in the village, which is their, it's like a giant yurt, a permanent yurt, which is their temple, their community round table, their gathering space. And it can hold 150 people seated in a circle. They also do weddings there and funerals. And it was interesting to see that, you know, this community decided the first thing they needed was the common structure, even before people had housing. And so these original founders, you know, over a couple of long weekends 30 years ago, built this amazing structure, which is really beautiful to see. And also aligned with our vision of having what we're calling a temple space, a central, you know, heart-centered space that's like the heart of the village. And both the vibe, the frequency, and the decision-making process runs through this temple space, which ideally we can maintain in a sort of pure heart-centered state, which downstream of that, all the decisions that we make, whether it's like we're going to construct a neighborhood or some sort of group housing, or we're going to do this business offering or this type of retreat, whatever it is, we want to be checking in first with, you know, where is this coming from? What is the frequency at which we are embarking on any particular project? one clear ideal that I saw in practice at Earth Haven, which also I've been reading about in the book Braiding Sweetgrass, is the reciprocity of all things, the relationship that humans have with any other living object or non-living, including the rocks, the mountains, the streams, etc., but with the trees, with the animals, with the all the beings in a community, and how to really be responsible, you have to almost think of each tree as a person, each animal as a person. And that means that all decisions end up being made in a respectful, sustainable way. And you don't get the sort of pave paradise and put up a parking lot result that so much of the beautiful parts of our world have happened to us, just because we don't have the awareness of that reciprocity of our relationship. You know, there's beautiful parts. I'm thinking of California right now, where there's just so much pavement, and California is such an innately beautiful state that we've missed some piece of our connection. And that's, you know, when we say a new earth community, what we mean is like a blending of the wisdom of cultures in the past that have been in harmony and the new technology, the new things that we've learned. You know, every advance that we've created in humanity in the last 1,000 years, let's roll it in to this community. Let's grow crops with as many different, you know, whether we're singing to the crops or using some type of composting system or using a vibrational frequency that's going to help them grow. You know, let's bring all of these in, but also mindful of the relationship that we have with these other beings. So I really enjoyed seeing Earth Haven, and they were upfront about their struggles and about, you know, the difference between 16 people making a unanimous decision versus now with 110 people, it takes 85% unanimous decision. And then if somebody has a problem with the decision, you know, how they move forward, taking that person's views into account to achieve a solution that's fair and respectful to everyone. The thing that I couldn't really see myself in this village, because that was one question I was asking. Do we even need to start our own community? Do we even need to do this because there's other communities that exist? What if we just went and joined one of those? And they're pretty much self-reliant in terms of using solar and hydroelectric. So they're almost never using dryers to dry their clothes, or they're, you know, very considerate about whether to use their blender or not. And I'm not quite sure if I'm ready to go that far. I might like to pay for energy from the grid, or I might, you know, I'd rather just have abundant, infinite energy of my own, which more on this to come. I've just got an email from Foster Gamble detailing some of the latest advances in energy that he's tracking. But that aside, it felt like Earth Haven was just a little more removed from society than I see myself. I would like to be driving into Asheville to play Frisbee, to go to dance, to work at co-working spaces, to whatever it may be, send my kids to Scouts. I would like to be somewhat integrated into the broader Asheville community as well. And I think talking to some of my other co-founders, it seems like that's what they're thinking as well. So another big thing that we accomplished being out in Asheville was one of the other co-founders, Tim, and I viewed a property. Now, we had a big list of possible parcels of land that we could tour. You know, we've been tracking this for more than a year. We've looked probably online at hundreds of properties. We physically toured among the founders many different properties, including some in Missouri, Tennessee, and now North Carolina. And so we picked probably my top choice property to go and look at and spend a couple hours touring. Now, this is a 75-acre property that has two springs and a creek. It has existing houses on it, two existing houses, several barns. There's cows and chickens currently on the property. And the way that it's set up is there's like 20 acres or so of bottom land, so flat pasture land, which is currently used for hay. Then sort of steep hillsides, wooded hillsides, and then a ridge line that kind of makes a circumference around the property. And so it has all the different types of terrain and possibilities for building that we're looking for. And one big advantage of having houses on the property is, even though people may want to come and build their own houses, we want to be experimenting with different building styles, you know, rammed earth geodesic domes, etc. It'll be really nice to have a place for people to sleep for the next year or two before we get, you know, lodging built for individuals, the retreat center, things like that. So this is a great stepping stone to get there. You know, part of the reason that I'm doing this recording right here is just to share more about our vision and our process, in case either you are working on a similar process, or if you're curious, or if you want to join us, if you want to be involved in some way. And I was just reminded yesterday that some of the best thing I can be doing is just talking about the process, sharing pictures of the tour of the land, sharing, you know, videos on Instagram stories. Because partly what we're looking for is we want ideas from people. We want, if anybody has experience with communities, we want to learn from them. We're looking for investors, right, in aspects of either buying the land or facilitating the healing center. This is a multi-million dollar project. So if you're hearing this and you can think of, oh, I think someone may be interested in investing in a project like this that has values of, you know, advancing humanity and creating a new earth, you know, please get in touch. I've also just been really encouraged by some contacts recently that say there are granting organizations, there are granting institutions that want to give money to projects like this. Now, I've pursued two granting opportunities and they haven't worked out at this point. But if I'm taking advantage of the law of large numbers and I approach 10 or 20 granting organizations, then it's much more likely that we may find the right partnership. Right now, we're continuing to have our regular calls. I mentioned in the first episode, the first recording, that we're doing these bi-weekly resonance calls. And what that's done, now that we've done it for almost 6 months, it's allowed, basically, it's a placeholder. Every couple weeks, we do this call, and we can invite new people in to meet the group and see if they resonate. Then, you know, first they can listen to an episode like this, they can look at the website, and then they can come and meet everyone. And it gives them a really good sense of, do I want to be part of that? And it helps people select themselves for, yeah, that's what I'm thinking, or I'm thinking more like Earth Haven, or more like the Eco Village in Ithaca, New York, whatever it may be. And on one of these recent resonance calls, we just went around and asked each person to say, why do you want to do this? Why do you want to be part of a community? Why do you want to build a village project? Because it's going to be a lot of work. It already, you know, it's already taking up a fair amount of time and attention. And so this is not necessarily going to be easy, but it really feels like the path with heart. But we just asked everyone, you know, what's in it for you? Why do you want to do this, first of all? And then also, what do you see yourself in this community? What's your role? Like, what do you really want to bring into this project? Because part of, you know, a fulfilling life is getting to contribute in your favorite ways. And so each person has their own pet projects, from a potential bathhouse to a healing center to mushroom farms to plant medicine retreats, whatever it may be. There's the things that we're passionate about. And when I was talking to Joel Salatin, when he came on my podcast, he said, you know, we have so many things to do. There's probably a list of 100 things we could do on the farm. And when we get a new crop of apprentices coming on the farm, we just let them pick. Whatever they're passionate about, that's the project they're going to do for the summer. And so not everything is going to get done on the list. But if you let people bring in the projects that they most want, then it's going to be really easy for everyone to be highly motivated to work on their, you know, their favorite things. I think that's pretty much what I'm going to say today. One last thing was that, you know, as we were touring this property and talking with our realtors, who another synchronicity, they're, you know, part of the dance community there, which is fantastic for us. You know, one of the realtors suggested, like, first thing you want to do after you put an offer in is get an engineer to look at the land and say, here's all your potential building spots, you know, look at the drainage, look at all the different aspects of the topography, because, right, the physical nature of the place is going to determine a lot of how you build. And so coming up with a development plan with the help of probably an engineer and a lawyer is probably a next step for us. So I'll keep you posted. I'll let you know exactly how we facilitate the purchase of this land. It does seem like this is our number one choice of property to buy, the one that we toured while we were out there. So now it's about aggregating the capital that we have, seeing how much more we need, you know, and where that money exactly is going to come from. And then what it's going to be like to start moving people onto the land, which is probably a couple steps down the road, but it feels very close. So thanks so much for listening, and don't hesitate to raise your hand if you want to participate in some way, whether you actually want to be a part of the community or you want to be an investor or if you want to share ideas. Any of that is welcome. Thanks so much. See you next time.